welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Only because we've got a sanctuary full of witnesses. Would you just stand up if you can and just be a physical witness, just to let somebody know that it was only because he made a way. There was nothing that you figured out. There was nothing that you had in your bank account that worked it out. There was no connection that you could make. There's no way you can really even explain it. You don't even really know how you got here today. You don't even really know why you can still stand up. You don't know. All you know is that somehow he did it, and it was only because he did it. Hallelujah. That we're standing here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We celebrate this God. This waymaker, hallelujah. And it was only because he made a way. We are not confused that we had nothing to do with the fact that we woke up, we got up, we came here, we're in our right mind. Hallelujah. God has been so good to us. We praise God for this opportunity to preach. Join me in prayer. Oh God, we thank you for there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. For we know it must be the spirit of the Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that we invited you here and you met us here. We thank you that we feel your awesome power. We thank you right now, even God, for preaching power, for listening power, for understanding power, for shackle-breaking power through the power of your word, your eternal word, oh God. So now do what you alone can do. We don't know how, but we believe that you will do it. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin reading at verse 1 from the New Revised Standard Version. Hebrews chapter 12. We thank you for worship, O God. Chapter 12, verse 1. In the NRSV, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart." For a topic for today's message, the Lord has said, "Run, Christian, run. Run, Christian, run." On this past Wednesday at around 7 p.m. Eastern time, bells rang out in Memphis, Tennessee, and around the country. outside the Lorraine Motel to commemorate the death of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 50 years ago this week, the world mourned the assassination of the Reverend Dr. King. And following the news of his murder in 1968, people around the world were grieving, were angry, were confused as to how this Gandhi-inspired peace movement in America would continue. In the words of Dr. King, black people and white people, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics all wrestled together with what it would mean to live now in America without this witness, this man of faith. It was this witness, this man of faith, whose words both united and divided an already hostile nation. And it was in the context of this divided nation that this leader, this witness of faith, ran his race. He was martyred for this cause, sacrificed for this work. And on this same past week, we also celebrate with the Brown family, whose court case became instrumental in the desegregation of schools when a mother and a father, Oliver and Leola Brown, knowing that their child was worthy of a better, the best education, united with the NAACP, and their case became the test case before the Supreme Court as they argued Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, to confirm that, in fact, separate was not equal. And it was in that moment that a 9-year-old little girl, a courageous little black girl, walked day by day into a building, walking past crowds, hostile crowds, jeering and cursing and taunting her. But yet she persisted on her race, the race that had been carved out for her. And upon her passing this past week, Sister Linda Brown, at the age of 76, can be counted among this great cloud of witnesses. And here it is, just before the chapter that we read today, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the author draws out our attention to other leaders, to other witnesses, Abraham, and there was Sarah and Rahab and Moses and others whose stories in the Hebrew scripture highlight their own journeys of faith. You know a little bit about Abraham, the one who had been called out. And the Hebrew writer said, by faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. And he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That's a word for somebody, for some church on this morning, that you are called out by faith to go and to a place which will be shown to you, even though you do not know where you are going. And among the Hebrew writers, there was Abel and Enoch, and as we said, Sarah, Abraham, Joshua, Caleb, and so many more. And they joined together from February, Black History Month, from March, Women's History Month, with Julia Foote and Jerina Lee and Sister Sojourner and Prathia Hall. And all of these come together to form this great cloud of witnesses. And on all of their witnessing, and in all of their courage, they show to us what it means to persevere, to be dedicated and committed, and to sacrifice for this course that has been set for us. But in all their witnessing, these witnesses are not the focus. And in all of the courage that we draw from them, these witnesses are not our focus, for you see, the Hebrew writer says that they are not the foundation of our faith. They are not, although they were courageous and we honor them on today, they are not the source of our security. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who is both the founder and the perfecter of our faith. and this Jesus. We've just celebrated together the conclusion of our Lenten season where we walk together toward the cross. In these last weeks, we focused on this Jesus journey, this witness of faith. Our Jesus, around 2,000 years ago, in this very season in which we're in, a small band and a growing collection of Jews and former Gentiles, converts, mounted together a movement of their own. And while they were still mourning his assassination, the death of their leader, they wondered what would be next. This Jesus of Nazareth, a witness of faith, had committed to justice his life. He dedicated himself to serving those who were overlooked, and he was on a God-ordained mission. He had been sent with an assignment from heaven, and his followers, they grieved the unjust conviction by the religious establishment of this Jesus as he faced his own death penalty. Death on a cross, crucified and humiliated. And he, Jesus, among all the witnesses to the faith, is the only one who did not sin. Jesus was the perfecter of our faith. He alone is the perfect model for what it means to complete the race, the assignment that we have been given from the Lord. And written almost a generation after his death, the Hebrew writer pens this sermon, and he sent it out to all of those who were living in the aftermath of the crucifixion, still grieving, still wondering. Christians in a world without their Jesus, living, Reverend Pyfrom, in the real world. We are called to remember him, this centerpiece of our faith, this one firmly secured in death and in resurrection. We are called to remember the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, who was both our high priest, Jesus who was the Son of God, Jesus who was a man crucified and martyred for our sins. This was the course, believer, that was set before him. This was the race that the Father sent for him to complete. He was born to die for your sins, born to die for my sins. And now, having completed his course, having run his race, the writer of Hebrews says that then and now it is on us. Jesus is enjoying his very great reward in heaven, seated in glory with the Father. If life for you, my sister, my brother, ain't been no crystal stair, if you can confess that life ain't been no bowl of cherries, if this walk of faith so far has been filled with isolation and confusion, filled with separation and persecution, if you've been discouraged and suffering along the way, well, then I join in with the preacher in Hebrews to say, you're in good company. And in all of our celebration of the Lord, even in worship today, in all of our gratitude for his great sacrifice, you know, words cannot express the depth of gratitude when we think about how he suffered. He did suffer, and he never said a word. When we think about how he was called to shed real blood, those were real nails piercing in his body, in his hands, in his feet. When we think about the fact that he shed unblemished blood, undeserving of his punishment, his untainted blood, his sinless blood was shed for our behalf. When we think about it, we are grateful. Even last week, we meditated on Friday on his last words, words of forgiveness for us because we knew not what we had done. Words of peace spoken to those who were killing him, even while they beat him and pierced him in his side. We think about how he walked for years in obedience to this race, even in the face of grave danger. That was just a week ago. That was Good Friday when we thought about that. And here we are just 1 week later, this week. Have we already packed up our gratitude until next year? Is that over? Have we already concluded our celebration with a swift thank you, Jesus, and moved on? Have we forgotten about the sacrifice already and returned to living a life that is fulfilled by the pleasures of this passing world? Have we already in 1 week become satisfied with human acceptance? Or church, or will we respond even now to the sacrifice of our Savior by running the race that he's called for us? Will we walk this journey that he's assigned to us, thinking about the lashes that he took for us? Will we endure for the kingdom? How shall we become witnesses in the cloud? Are we only committed to the resurrection on Sunday morning and not the cross of Friday afternoon? The Hebrew writers, he knew that those who had been left there after Jesus were growing weary of making sacrifice after sacrifice. Amen. He knew that they had been tired of being different and set apart. He wondered if those people, he wondered if they were saying in that time, even as those said to Moses in the wilderness, why have we come this far? Have you brought us out here to die? You ever feel that way? Why the sacrifice? Why have we given up so much? Why have we separated ourselves? For what cause? Now that Jesus has been gone for a little while, some are wondering, well, what is it that we're supposed to do now? Their faith is waning like the light of a shrinking candle. Should we keep going, church? Should we continue on this race, or can we just return to our former life, even just for a little while? Should we stay on this straight and narrow course that the Lord has set for us, or should we, church, just maybe turn to the left just a little and return back to the life that we gave up, or maybe just turn to the right and go to the places where others are, or will we stay the course that the Lord has set for us, Redeemer? We can be honest, it gets tough sometimes. You can be honest. Even as a man in flesh, that blood was dripping from his body. Those nails did hurt, that crown of thorns, that was real. Even as a man, Jesus grew weary of the journey. We read scripture, we know that he got tired sometimes. And yet his commitment was clear to the very end, and we are the beneficiaries of him staying the course for the path that the Lord carved out for him, for running his race to the end. And so we have, the Hebrew writer says, this cloud of witnesses, all these people, these men and women, these children, boys and girls, and our crucified Savior who teach us and show us that God will use in any of us to show it, to be witnesses to the world. God will pour out his vision on his sons and on his daughters, on his children. God will invest a calling into our lives, church. But what was the cause for their sacrifice? I mean, will it be in vain? What was the benefit of them being martyred? Why should we remember on Easter Sunday and shout on Easter Sunday unless we respond today? What about us? What about you? What about me? How will we respond? Well, the answer is by running the race that has been set before us. Now, the Lord does not call us to duplicate somebody else's race. We are not to be a king. We are not to be Sister Brown. we are called to be reverend. We are called to be minister. We are called to be deacon. We are called to be trustee. We are called to be mother. We are called to be father. We are called to be daughter. We are called to be son. He knows your name and right where you are. And the calling that he has for you is for you. Each of us has a course that has been set for us. The scripture says a race marked out for us in the NIV. Every believer, none of us can escape from this, that has been blood bought. You know, you stood under the cross on Good Friday and we went down into the grave and we rose and resurrected with our Jesus. Every one of us that's been blood bought, that the penalty has been paid for us, has a race to run. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. How long you've been attending church. This is not about membership. This is about the calling that the Lord has placed on your life, and you have a race. And the Hebrew, the hearers of Hebrews 12, they understood this race kind of story. They understood this. This was common imaging in that time. They knew about sport, and they knew that in their society that there was a race to be run. And they knew that there was a prize to be attained. They knew that a sport had a beginning and that it had an end. And so they understood the language of the Hebrew writer. And they also understood that they wanted to finish strong. Is there anybody who doesn't just want to straggle across the finish line, but you want to finish strong, you want to attain the prize, you want to get the victory? But what they also understood was that there was something that needed to happen before they showed up for this contest, for this race. You've got to do some stuff to prepare yourself for this race that we are called to run. They understood preparation. They understood discipline. They understood that God would train you. Yes, his spirit will prepare you. He will teach you what you need to know. He will give you what you need in order to be equipped to run this race. Just a few things that the Lord wants us to know are essential in order for you, since you've committed to running the race that the Lord has set before you. A couple of things for us to know. You have to stretch. You have to stretch. You have to stretch. Any of our purpose-driven walkers know if you don't stretch, you walk around, you'll go around the lakes a couple of times. Next thing you know, you'll pull up and hurt yourself. The Lord is stretching us, church. Amen. Is anybody being stretched where the Lord will do some things, will move some muscles in the spirit in ways that they had not been moved before? And he'll say, I know it hurts a little bit, but you got to stretch so that when I take you to the next level, when I take you to this new place, when I elevate you, you won't injure yourself. So you got to stretch. You got to allow the Lord to stretch you if you're going to run this race and run it well. Yeah, and that's God's responsibility. But when he presents you with the opportunity, Minister Tamika, to be stretched and you say yes to him, he'll show you that you can move in ways that you never knew that you could move before. And you'll be a stronger witness able to run. You got to stretch, but you also, my sisters, we just talked about Weight Watchers, you got to watch your diet. I didn't say you got to go on a diet. That's between you and Jesus, but you do have to watch your diet. But can Jesus be a witness to you about that? Can he talk to you about your diet? And yes, I mean, it's true. Some of us do need to drop a couple LBs, but what I'm saying is that you got to be aware about what you take in. You got to be aware of about your ears. What are you allowing to get in? You got gates. You got gates. If you want to run this course and stay on it, And be healthy through it, you got to watch what you're hearing, you're listening to. Watch what's coming into your, what are you watching? You got to allow the Lord to send people to you to challenge you about that. I had a friend recently who was interested in becoming healthier, and he went to a nutritionist or a dietitian, and the first thing that he was told to do was to keep a journal of all the things that he had been taking and all the beverages, all the food, the snacks that do count, even if it's in the car, that counts. And what he realized just within a day or two is that he had no idea of all the things that he had been taking in to his body. Sometimes you can get so involved and just open yourself up in such a way that you don't even realize, well, how did I know that song? I don't listen to that music. Yes, you do. You didn't think about it because you weren't paying attention to your diet. But we got to be aware if we're going to run this race, what we're eating, what we're listening to, what we're watching. You want to be healthy, right? We want to be healthy. So you got to stretch. You got to allow the Lord to stretch. You got to watch your diet. You also got to stay hydrated. Some of us don't love water, but it's necessary. It's necessary. And any of our walkers, any of our runners know that you have to stay hydrated. Your body, your cells need that water in order for it to be strong. And Christian, I need you to know that if you're going to run this race down here on this earth and you're going to do everything that the Lord has planned for you, you have got to stay filled with his word. You have got to be washed in the washing of his word. You've got to allow the Lord to be so filling you to the overflow that you are, that any moment when he tells you to go and run, that you can run and you won't pass out. Stay filled with God's word. Stay filled in the knowledge of him. You gotta stay hydrated. You have to stay focused. What did we just read today in verse 2? It said, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Not to be distracted about to the left or to the right, what she's doing, what he's doing. You got a race to run, Christian. You have to stay focused on the finish. You have to stay focused on the perfect witness who we said was Jesus, the author and the perfecter. He's the one that laid the course. He's the one that knows where the turns are. He knows where the pitfalls are. He's aware of what's going to cause you to trip up and fall again. So you have to stay focused, believer. Stay focused. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's got the playbook, and he's got the power to get us through this race. You got to stay hydrated. Watch your diet. You got to stretch. You got to stay focused. And look for the rest stops, Christian. They're there. I know sometimes it feels like, Jesus, I'm not going to make it. Well, is that because you passed the rest stop, an opportunity when he told you to pull over and have a seat and come and get some water? Because we were trying to be super Christian Jesus woman girl. God knows, and when he was here walking his path, there were times when he came aside and he rested and he sat down and he had fellowship and communion with the Father and he was restored. So let's not try to be superheroes and do this thing above our Savior Jesus, the one who was perfect and all powerful. So when the rest stops are presented, he'll show them to you. Come aside and get the rest that you need. He knows you're only human. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. And the Hebrew writer says that we've got to lose weight. Now, we somewhat addressed this issue already. And again, I shall say for some of us, that is pounds. But it says for all of us, we've got to shed something. All of us have to. Have you been trying to run this race of faith? You've been trying to be a leader in your family. You've been trying to be a leader in your community. You've trying to be a leader in your church. You're trying to just complete this assignment that you know the Lord has given you, and you feel like you are dragging your way through life. Every day is hard. There's never a light moment. You feel so heavy laden every day. Every day there's no relief. Well, could it be? Could it be that, yes, this is a difficult race, but sometimes we make it harder because we are trying to drag stuff. We're trying to run this race, and we're trying to carry stuff that the Lord told you 5.5 years ago to lay it down, to leave it there, and to run the race. But we. You're too heavy, Christian. You're too heavy. You got to shed some stuff. Get to your fighting weight. The Hebrew writer said, lay aside every weight and sin. Everything. It's distracting you. And the NRSV said it clings so closely. Sometimes you got to peel that thing off of you. First century Christians, they had been converted from either paganism or they were Jewish born. So that means that they came from other places, other traditions. And you know, when we come from somewhere else, this is how I grew up. This is just how I grew up. These are the things that they were a part of who they were. And when they came to Christ, some of those things that were near and dear to him, they had to leave behind because they were too heavy. They had to make great sacrifices. Some of them had to come apart from their families. Some of them had to just leave their traditions behind. Some of them had to leave their communities that nurtured them for so long. They couldn't be a part of every organization out in the streets. They couldn't be a part of every social club. They had to disqualify themselves from being like everybody else. They had to disqualify them. They had to remove themselves from that race that allowed them to be elevated in society, to become of no reputation like Jesus, to deny themselves earthly attachments. Jesus endured the cross and disregarded its shame. But not every weight is something that's so scandalous. But if it's pulling away your attention and you're trying to run this race, if it's competing for your affections with Jesus and you're trying to run a race, if it's pulling attention from any aspect of the race, if it's got you entangled, every time you try to take a step, you feel it grabbing at your heels. If it's competing for your heart and you're trying to run a race and stay focused on Jesus. But it's not only those things that try to attach themselves to us. It's not only those things that are grabbing for us, but what are you holding on to? Is it pride? Is it the possibility of fame and recognition? Is it mother's self-imposed expectations of what you should be doing by now, or what you should have by now, brother? All of these things weigh us down, and when we're trying to run, you got to pull it off, peel it off, shed it off, shake it off, do whatever you got to do to get it off. And as the scripture said, lay it aside. Last week, Resurrection Sunday, we celebrated that Jesus got up. His course was completed. But in all of this sacrifice and running and losing weight and staying focused, some of us are wondering, will there be a finish for us? Is this ever going to end? After having gone through all of this, will we get up? There are those among us who have not yet committed themselves to Christ, and they may be wondering, after you said all that, preacher, is it really worth it? What about the end for us? Will there ever be an end to this race? Will there ever be an end to this striving and this effort and this sacrifice and being different and set apart? Will there ever be an end to this labor? Because I'm tired. I know the song said, I've been serving Jesus and I ain't tired yet, but preacher, I'm tired. Will there ever be a finish line, a rope line for me to run through? Jesus lets us know, our good and perfect example, that every good race ends with rest and every good race ends with celebration. That's an assurance for us today. That's a promise. Every race you run for the Lord will end with a period of rest and a celebration. I know it's true. Happens in my house. My husband, my strong, y'all can say amen, and virile husband, amen. He demonstrates this to me. He's an example of this. For a number of years, he completed the Broad Street Run. Y'all know when people are out there in the middle of the street, when we're in, most of us are in here, running just for no reason, nobody's chasing you. I don't understand it, but praise God. Year after year, he completed this race, and every time he completed the Broad Street Run, there were three things that I knew for sure. One, I knew he had prepared himself. I'd seen him going to the gym, running out in the street. He didn't just get up one morning and say, I'm going to go run all the blocks on Broad Street throughout the whole city. But he had been preparing himself, what he ate, what he drank, leading up to the race and around the year. The second thing I knew is that afterward, he was going to need to rest. And that was going to be immediate. That was going to be time that had to be prepared and set aside. That'll preach for us. Some rest, knowing that energy that had just been expended. Don't discount the things that the Lord has you do, that you don't need a period of rest just because you're not up here preaching. And when he carves out that space for you, that Sabbath time, go with it. You need that rest. So I knew that he had been prepared. I knew that he was going to need rest. And the third thing I knew is that either at the finish line, at home, or both, that we were going to celebrate. So in the best way that we could, the kids and I, we would make our little signs and we would cheer for Daddy, because none of us are running for no reason other than him. But we wanted to celebrate with him this great accomplishment, to show him that we were proud of what he had done, because we knew that it wasn't just that day, it wasn't just the day before, but that this had been months of preparation. And we wanted to encourage him to keep on running. So we celebrated this great victory. This great victory. I never said that he finished in first place. I never said that he finished in second or third place. But that Christian, that was never the focus. That was never the goal. The focus was always about the finish. Why are you running today, Christian? Is your goal or your measure of success acclaim or riches? What are you running for? Applause? If those are the reasons why you've been running and preparing, then you may be running in vain. And God will reward us openly. He will bless us with these things. He will give us wealth. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, but that is not the goal. That is not our hope. So if we run to finish, we run to finish. Run to finish. Through, I'm done, every twisted ankle, focus on the finish and just keep running. Run, Christian, run. Every time you have a spasm in the spirit, focus on the finish and just keep on running. When your back hurts, and it will from time to time, keep on praying and keep on running. When your eyes grow faint, keep on studying, keep on running. When you need a walking cane and you can't move as fast as you used to, that's all right. You just keep on running. Keep on serving, believer. Keep on coming, Christian. When your faith gets challenged, keep on believing. Even when the numbers look few, keep on meeting. Keep on running. Run to finish, and when the path, even when you can't see the next step, he promises to be your light. So keep on seeking him. Keep on going. Keep on running, because we know that the sufferings and the challenges of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. But it's only going to be revealed if you keep on running. Jesus already took the weight. He already carried the heavy burden, so your cross could be lighter. Only trust him and just keep running, keep on going. And this course, it gets tricky sometimes when you've got to go up a hill or over a mountain and it gets steep and the turns are severe. We do have an example in Christ Jesus, and he already completed the course. And if we trust him and follow him, we know that we can run, Christian, run. And he said that he did it so that you may not grow weary and your souls may not give up. So don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever you do, just keep on running, Christian, run. I want to run, preacher, but how do I know? When do I know I'm done? And how do I know if I win? Because I want to run to win. I want to run to win. Run to finish, believer. I want to run to win. Your labor in the Lord, Christian, is not in vain. And the Lord is not in vain. But I want to win. I want to run to finish. Well, but I want to win. Well, last Sunday, if you were paying attention, you know that he got up on the third day early, with all power in his hand, and he completed his race. And that means that he won, because he finished. And so if he finished and he's in victory, and we are running the race that he set before us in the midst of a great cloud, let them see you run, mother. Let them see you run, father. I want to win. Well, because you run, You win. Just keep running because he ran, we won. Because if you keep on running, we win. We already won. We already won. We already won. We already won. Just keep running, Christian. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. And then one day, when our running has come to an end and we have finished this course and we have kept the faith, Apostle Paul says, I have finished this race and I've kept the faith, and now there's laid up for me. There's laid up for me. There's a crown waiting for you because you kept on running in spite of everything that came in front of you, despite the discouragement, in spite of that the persecution, in spite even if you're martyred for the sake of righteousness, you just keep running, and then the Lord will call you to your very great reward. So be a witness, church. Be a witness, Redeemer, in the midst of other fellowships of faith. Be a witness. We can be a witness to other churches that we are going to keep running this race that the Lord has set for us. So if you want to win, if you want to win, then run. Run, Christian, run. To God be the glory. Would you rest on your feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.